It's a marvelous thing to bear witness. We share often as we ought the call to bear witness to our neighbors and the sharing of the gospel. But this morning we're going to be reminded that just in the gathering, as God's people come together and experience this community, this too bears a witness to the world that, as we just sang, that we belong. We belong to God alone. And one of the great joys of the Christian life is being able to bear that witness in our world. And so we're going to pick up that story this morning. It's the last sermon in our series in the summer, which is our Summer in the Psalms. And I encourage you to open a Bible with me to Psalm 133. You'll find it on page 653 in your pew Bible. When any person, and this goes from birth to death, in between the span of those two momentous moments in our life, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, we profess this as scriptural, but when they come to Christ, they automatically, having experienced God's forgiveness through the cross of Jesus Christ, in that moment, whether you like it or not, whether or not you embrace it, you become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's actually a non-negotiable. It's only for us to figure out what that looks like in the community that God might be calling us into as a result of His amazing grace. But when we belong to Christ, this is the big picture of our sermon this morning. When we belong to Christ by faith, we automatically belong to His community, whether or not we like it and whether or not we embrace it. To gain one is to gain the other. And that means, for many things, not only is the church very precious to Jesus because of this, it ought to be very precious to us. In fact, it's a priceless invitation that God gives us. And that is the very focus of Psalm 133. It's a song of ascent. We looked at one of the songs of ascent last Sunday as well. These are songs God's people would sing as they would make their way to Jerusalem. And this too is one that they would sing. As we look to God's word this morning, let's ask the Spirit to be present in our hearing and the preaching of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we just sang, your Holy Spirit lives within your church. And we pray now because of that, as we enter this place, we've come to worship. We have come to confess our sins and be reminded again of the wonders of your forgiveness. And now it is important for us to pause and listen to your word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Holy Spirit, we pray we would hear well, and by the grace that comes in Christ, we would be transformed in this time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, Psalm 133. It's a very short psalm, very short psalm. Heads up, next Sunday we're going to begin a new sermon series on the book of 1 Timothy, and the first chapter of 1 Timothy is a really long chapter, so gird up your loins. You're going to be standing for a while next Sunday. But this Sunday, Psalm 133 is just a short little song of ascent. Imagine God's people, they're on the roads, it's dusty and it's dry, and they're making their way to Jerusalem. And this is the song that they would sing. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is God's word. You may be seated once again. Launched in 1997, there was a commercial that was very popular for quite a while. The campaign title was priceless. Most of us have probably seen it. The slogan has actually always been very catchy. There are some things money cannot buy, for everything else there's MasterCard, right? I think it's actually still being viewed. I like the Google thing, so I did Google that, and yeah, it's still kind of a tagline for MasterCard. But really, the way the ad works, in a way, is it captures the few things that money can buy, and then tells you what it costs. For example, maybe you go watch the Tigers play, and I went online and I found out the nosebleed seats are about $40 a pop, so $80 because you're going with somebody. So $80, that's a MasterCard commercial here. Not the nosebleed section, but $80, Detroit Tigers. And then, of course, you got to buy some swag, so I went online and I found out a Tigers logo fan chain costs $35. It's nuts to me, but that's $35. Stadium food. I was actually kind of surprised by this. For two people, a hot dog and a drink, $25. Maybe I was on a bad website. I thought it would have been a lot more. And then the list closes by saying there's some things money can't buy, right? There's the opportunity to be at a game with somebody you love or a friend. You know, or maybe you're sitting in the right section and you catch that foul tip or that home run ball. And the tagline is priceless. It's kind of captivating. The ad works, really. It works because it taps into something that's really a longing within all of our human hearts, and that is, I want to be a part of something. I want to experience something that's priceless. So here's my segue, because you know I got to get back to Psalm 133 this morning. This is sort of what David does. I think this is what God's doing in Psalm 133. He's saying there's this priceless thing that you and I get to be a part of. There's this, I mean, money can buy a lot of things in our world, and we know that, but this, oh, the church. God wants us to embrace this. God, as God's people would sing, they're making their way to Jerusalem, it's time to worship, and they're going to the holy temple there, and they're singing the song, and they're singing, how good, how pleasant it is when God's people live, or some translations say, they dwell together in unity. It's priceless. When it comes to the church, bought by the precious blood of Jesus, God through David is saying in Psalm 133, we need to embrace the beauty of this, the pricelessness of this. It's not perfect. It's far from so. In fact, at times it's dangerously and disturbingly so. But by God's hand, the church is priceless in our world today. I mean, think about it. God loves us so much. He, by the grace of God and the cross, he calls us out of a path of wandering of sin, out of condemnation to sin. And he, in his grace, not only saves us from that, but puts us somewhere. He puts us in this community. And through the inner working of the Holy Spirit, and as God's people are rubbing shoulders together and experiencing this community together, I know it can get a little gritty and can get a little hard at times, but it's this priceless thing in which we discover that we truly do belong to Jesus, because people around me are just like me. They're people on the journey. We truly belong to Jesus, and we belong to this beautiful thing, this priceless thing, which is the church. And it's our responsibility to make sure we're in that church, in all its different representations around the world today. But by God's grace, he makes us into this family. And that's why David writes here in Psalm 133, how good, how pleasant it is when God's people are living together, when they live together in community. It's good and it's pleasant, and we embrace the beauty of this belonging, and we ought to, because of the gospel. I hope we hear this morning. I know that pastor here is always in danger of preaching to the choir. You're here in large part because you get this. And that's a fantastic thing. But at the same time, because we're going to hear in a moment some of the blessings that come from this belonging, the world's trying always to tell us that you can belong elsewhere. You can find greater time, energy, enthusiasm, whatever, in a lot of different things. And yet once a week in corporate worship, God has designed for us to come together, and I get to lock eyes with you, and you get to lock eyes with me, and we find out, this is who I am. I'm a member of this church. And this helps recalibrate us as we think about the journey that we're about to make again as we go out tomorrow morning and throughout the week. Now, I hope we hear that this morning. At the same time, we need to acknowledge that sadly, too often, we don't have to dig deep. We don't have to scratch far under the surface to find out that this unity is often threatened, whether by inner strife or conflict. And too often, life in the church is, to quote a phrase that is used well about sin, even the church is, it's not what it's supposed to be. The church isn't what it's supposed to be. I wish it were otherwise. I also know, and this isn't just to sort of cover over a multitude of sins, but I also know that no one stops being a sinner the moment they come to faith in Jesus Christ and join his church. No one stops sinning the moment their life is captured by God's saving grace in Christ. All of that to say, let's grieve. Let's lament when the visible church is not what it ought to be. And yet, let's also remember that we can be sure that Christ's church is always going to exist. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. He said not only is he going to be Lord of the church, and there's never a time in which he's not going to be Lord. He promised, he says, I'm going to build this church, and the very gates of hell itself will not prevail against it. So Psalm 133 comes to us this morning, and God just wants us to see this marvelous gift, the gift of the church, the gift of unity in the church, the good and the pleasant of this body of Christ, which is rooted in his redeeming work. It's good. It's precious. Because it's God's gift to you and to me. It's his gift to us so that we don't have to go alone. It's good and precious because it ultimately also reflects the gift of belonging to something that is, well, priceless, to use MasterCard. It's good and precious, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, because he says every barrier has been removed. We are no longer separated by the color of our skin. We're no longer separated by our ethnicity. We're no longer separated by our gender. There's no more separation, says Paul. The dividing wall has been taken down by Christ. And so all of that is supposed to be powerless to destroy what God has created for our good. And that's our first point this morning. It's good, and it's for our good. And all of that is why unity, or the beauty of belonging to God's redeemed community, it deserves our attention. We should talk about this. We should talk about this with our children. We should talk about this with our spouse. We should talk about. I remember in college, a friend of mine, a dear friend, and she asked me once, Simon, why do you go to church? And I bombed that question in the moment. We can't go back and redo these things. I wish I could. I wish I could have said to her then, because we get to. I'm a part of something that's bigger than me. I get to go to a place. I know it's imperfect. But I get to go. We get to go to this place where I get to look you in the eye, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, and I get to cheer you on, and I get to do this because it's really hard to do faith outside of this. So David picks up Psalm 133 this morning, and he describes for us this wonderful community and why we need to prioritize it, why we need to make it important. And then he gives us two pictures. And each of these pictures describes really what the result is. I mean, you want the facts here. This is David with the facts. He says, when we embrace the beauty of belonging to this messy bride of Christ, when we do that, when we embrace it fully, some beautiful things happen. And let's look at those this morning. Here's the first beautiful thing. We see each other as God's anointed. Now, you're thinking, well, what's the big deal about that? No, let's remember, in the Old Testament times, whenever somebody was anointed, it meant God was saying about that person, maybe it was a priest, a king, a prophet, whatever, God was saying, this person is set apart for me. And I've called them for a purpose. They are mine. And so anytime in the Old Testament, maybe you read of a king or a priest or somebody being anointed with oil, it was God's declaration that this individual was a called person. And now David says, here's what happens when we come into this community. It's like precious oil poured on the head. No longer just the priest, but on all of us. This precious oil of God's identity marker is put on me and you, and it's not cheap. It's poured out. It's running all over the place, and it's running on the beard. It's running down Aaron's head. It's down the collar of his robes. In other words, I'm just lavished with this oil. And next time, think about this image when you, maybe even this morning, you come to church and you shake somebody's head. I want you to have this vision. This person has been anointed just like me. And whenever I come together with my fellow believers, just as God does in the Old Testament, when he sets apart people, he sets apart individuals in service to him. When we do church, we're recognizing this. I said a moment ago, the world tries to define us in many different ways and tells us that's who we are. Maybe we're our job or our academic career. Maybe we're our position in a company or our status as a retired. The world tells us. And then we come to corporate worship. And I get a look at you, and you get a look at me, and I find out, nope, I'm a child of the King. I'm a servant of the Most High. I've been redeemed and claimed through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is who I am. And when we get to do the beauty of belonging, that's what happens. David says, it's just like that anointing of oil. We're reminded of who we really are. And when we're in community and we're, think about, I just listing some of the one another's of Scripture. When we're encouraging one another and praying for one another and loving one another, when we're devoted to one another, when we admonish one another, when we comfort one another, when we bear one another's burdens, when we submit to one another, when we serve one another, when we speak the truth to one another and forgive one another, what we're doing is this acknowledgement. We're in this together. And we need each other. You are God's anointed. I am God's anointed. Through water and the Spirit, Jesus says. That's who I am. And though every day the world tries to redefine me, or even maybe even just to dismiss me, when I come together, when we come together, we see one another as we are in Christ. You are God's anointed. You are redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. You belong. A people, as Peter says, a people who are holy and dearly loved, you are fellow pilgrims on the same journey, all because of God's priceless gift in Christ and the priceless gift he gives you to belong to his body. Paul makes a big deal about this in 1 Corinthians, for example, how important it is to protect this body, to strive after this body, to do good for this body, because every piece matters. David is saying in Psalm 133, and maybe you needed this morning, just a reminder of why you're here. David says to us here in Psalm 133 that as we do the good and delight in the good and the precious and the priceless of the church, we get this beautiful picture of how our relationships affect each other as brothers and sisters. Not least of which is just because I now am reminded, this is my family. I'm not alone in this. As we're singing the song of Psalm 133, and maybe that's what your spirit needs this morning And so you're glad you're here, and you're thinking of somebody who you wish were here, and because we all need this. It's a lonely world. It's as if, David says, when we come together, this anointing happens again. I'm reminded of who I am. There's the first wonderful gift, a great reason to embrace corporate gatherings in the body of Christ. Let's look at the next one. Not only does it mean we get to see each other as God's anointed, we truly get something, and that is, David says, you are refreshed for the journey. And so he uses this marvelous image. He says, let me tell you about the Dew of Hermon. Mount Hermon was the largest, probably 9,000 feet in the area. Sometimes it would be snow-capped. To be on that mountain, if you were a shepherd, you knew the moisture and everything overnight would settle, and you would be soaked with dew in the morning. That's why grass would grow on this mountain, and shepherds would often bring their animals there to eat. It was a place of refreshing. And David says, that's what life in the community is like. It's like all of that heavy dew of Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. In other words, this is an image of God's people. And one of the gifts we have when we do this is we get to refresh each other as we're making the journey. You have to imagine in the arid environment of the desert, water, how precious that was for them, right? It's believed that as a result of the dew of Mount Hermon, you know, it would even collect and become rivulets and streams, and it would help supply the aquifer and other underground sources for rain of water in that area. I mean, this was how precious the dew of Mount Hermon was. This is how precious it is when we come together. It's like in the parched land, we refresh one another. There's a way in which we find out that we need it. And David describes that's what life is like. It's supposed to be like when God's people, whether in hardship or times of great delight, in all of them, whether we're hard-pressed or out of a season like that, but we're refreshing each other along the way. It's the beauty of belonging. I know many of you can testify to that here. I praise God for that. Even in the last few weeks, as we've heard about some hard-pressed moments among some of our members, whether a cancer diagnosis or a possible stroke or everything else, we hear that and we find out, I hear the stories, I love it. So when somebody going to visit and other persons dropping cards off and meals are coming, and it's all this refreshing. It's really quite remarkable that in the midst of these hard-pressed moments that some of us are in and some of us are ongoing, when we're dwelling together in Christ, when we're in the good and the pleasant, it's like we're an oasis to each other, an oasis in the desert. And that's God's design for the church. Weary hearts, weary hands, they find rest. Worries find a community to help us carry them. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we come together, we find out we are surrounded by those who are like morning dew in a world that is parched. So there's the two images that David uses. They're very Old Testament-y. But there's this anointing that happens, this blessing that we give each other, and then there's this refreshing that happens as we're around each other. And that's why there's so much beauty in actively belonging to what Christ has formed for our good and ultimately for God's glory. This is why I love the church. I know it's not everybody's experience. There's a lot of pain in the church. People feel rejection from the church. Sometimes it's simply because they've done things that cause them to be under the discipline of the church, but there's a lot of reasons for the pain. But I love the church. I love the church when it's working right. I love the church when we're blessing each other and when we're refreshing each other, because then we got a grasp of this beautiful thing that David's talking about, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And now here's just two big truths about this I want us to hear this morning. We don't create this. God creates this, because only God can create this. Only God can bring together those who are by our sinful nature. The Catechism tells us in Lord's Day 2, it's in our sinful nature to hate God and to hate our neighbor. And then God creates this, which he does through Jesus. And the gospel sings, and we know Jesus lifted the curse of our sin. He calls us out of the world and into this redeemed community, but God created it. It's our job, second truth, to maintain it. It's our job. God creates the gathering of those who are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. It's our job to maintain it, which essentially means don't disrupt it, don't break it, and don't take it for granted. Or as we confessed earlier in the Belge Confession, let's bend our necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ and serve to build up one another. I love the church when it's working right. This gift, this priceless gift for the faith journey. How good and pleasant it is when we live together in this unity. But there are times when we get confused about that. I just want to share this as a second to last closing thought this morning, and that is that Scripture tells us there is ungodly and godly unity. Ungodly unity is like the Tower of Babel. If you don't know the story, in the Old Testament, God's people got really full of themselves and decided they're going to make it all about them and say, look how great we are. Let's build ourselves this great tower and reach up to be where God is so we can be treated as equals. It's people working together to build a name for themselves. And this ungodly unity is the same spirit that still exists today. And you find it wherever Christian communities are redefining who they are. And they're saying, you know, we're going to define ourselves by worldly patterns. And so we have the health and wealth gospel that says God blesses faith with success. And that's just an ungodly unity. Or we've seen so much in the last 20 years about churches going down roads, redefining human sexuality, and that's an ungodly unity, and we should be aware of it. There is ungodly unity, and then there is godly unity, and that's Jesus here telling us in John 15. You want godly unity? You want a unity that's not about being tossed back and forth by our world, by all different kind of new things that come across. It's about staying connected to the true vine. It's unity that is in Christ. And as leaders and elders in the church, it is our priority to make sure that the unity we have is about the unity we have in Christ. And it's all of our responsibility to do so, to stay connected to the true vine, because we are rooted in what Christ secures for us at the cross. And so therefore, we're going to embrace the beauty of belonging, and we're going to protect it, and we're going to cherish it, and we're going to make sure it is what Christ wants for his church. Sin, selfishness, Satan, the three S's are constantly going to war against the very thing David is talking about here in Psalm 133. But let's not forget, what we need is this. How good and pleasant, as God shows us here in Psalm 133, is the gift of his redeemed community. When you came to Christ, you automatically joined this. The universal, invisible church, visibly represented by God's grace here, in one part of it, at Heritage Church. Why do we gather every week? Because this needs to be our priority. I need to be reminded again, just to use the images of David, I need to be reminded that this is who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ in this world. And the anointing reality, the blessing that you give other people by coming, is reminding them of that too. But we also need to be refreshed. We need some refreshing. We're weary and we get worn out. So Psalm 133 is a song you get to sing, and let it be one that you sing this week. How much we ought to love the church, to cherish this priceless gift. United by faith in Christ, this image of God who is weaving us together. And we're all different, and Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, one part of the body can't say to any other part of the body, I don't need you. We don't get to do that. God is weaving us all together, and when we're taking that to heart, we are blessing each other. We are refreshing each other. And so as the passage in Hebrews 10 reminds us, let's not neglect this. Let's not neglect meeting together as some are doing, says the passage. Let's not neglect it, but remember that Christ brought me here by default, out of necessity, because I need this. We need this to give each other what we need in this journey. How good. People of God, how good and pleasant it is when we live together, when we are a part of the body of Christ. Let's pray. God in heaven, remind us, as you have in your word this morning, the beauty of belonging. Teach us again in the rhythms of our life how important it is to know this community so we can be blessed and a blessing to each other in who we are, and also to refresh in the journey. Forgive us for making this less of a priority in our journey. Help us to remember how good it is and pleasant it is when we come together like this. We bless you for this promise in Jesus, O God, that you will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So now, as your holy people, dearly loved, may we hold this priceless gift and treasure it for its worth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.